The Ryan Tubridy Show on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Sky Broadband. With our broadband, your world is limitless. Live beyond.
28 minutes past nine now. Thanks for all those texts. We'll get to them in a few minutes. 51551. But I want to talk to UCC's Fionnuala O'Neill Doyle. Good morning to you.
Fionnuala Doyle O'Neill, even.
Fionnuala Doyle O'Neill, okay. Whatever you have in yourself. It's the curse of the double barrel name. We know which came first.
To keep my husband happy. So it was Doyle originally and then Doyle O'Neill.
Gotcha.
There you go.
Do you know what? All three of you are welcome to the programme.
Thank program you very much. And you're very welcome to Cork. You lit up the whole atrium yesterday.
The atrium was great fun
absolutely.
Yesterday. The hub.
At the hub, it was absolutely fantastic, and we're just delighted to have you. And your passion for history was great, and I know that you'd mediate a lot with all the different students with all their own queries, but you were fantastic and it was lovely to have you.
Thank you. We just loved being there because we got a great insight into the minds and the thoughts of this generation.
Absolutely. And of course you also got a copy of the Atlas of the Irish Revolution, which is from this parish.
Yeah.
Two of the editors, of course, are Dr. Donal O'Driscoll and John Borgavona. So we're very delighted to give you that copy. And I'm sure you'll have it all read the next time that I see you.
And learned off by rote, like exactly. The worst history classes of all time. But a beautiful presentation. And it won a lot of awards, I remember, at
absolutely.
The time.
Absolutely. Now, don't use it as a footstool.
No, it's a big old tome. It's definitely one that... So tell us about your role in UCC, if you would.
So I'm a broadcast historian. And essentially, UCC is the first undergraduate history degree that offers media history. As part brilliant. Of its BA degree. So a few years ago, I would have to say now there were a couple of arched eyebrows when I started teaching about Gay Byrne, because I was talking to a cohort of 19, 20-year-olds.
Yep.
So their only resonance or affiliation with Gay Byrne would have been that he was chairperson of the Road Safety Authority.
Yep. Yep.
So when I began to talk about his radio programme, when I started talking about Anne Lovett, how he'd covered that story so forensically and so well, when I started talking about the Bishop Casey affair and the Late Late Show, they just couldn't believe that all these incidents happened, you know, just prior to their lifetime, so to speak. So I began to look at Gay Byrne as a catalyst for change. And so gradually then I also introduced Irish film history as well. So we look at the film history through the prism of history. So I must say, we have a huge cohort of students now. And what really made me happy is that Gay Byrne is now part of the Leaving Cert history curriculum under the key personalities of the 20th century. So I really feel vindicated.
Well done, yeah.
And also I would have to say that RTE itself is part of the Leaving Cert history curriculum. There's a special question on RTE 1962 to 1972. So all of this broadcast history is now being seen as being integral to our overall history. So I'm really, really interested in that. But I'm also very interested, as you know, Ryan,
yes.
In performative history. So about 4 years ago, 2014, however, my maths are really bad,
yeah.
I set up the UCC Players, the staff drama group. And they're a wonderful bunch of people all together. I'm now the honorary president because I come and go, so to speak. And our first production was Walking with Ireland into the Sun. It's a play I wrote about the women of 1916. And I was trying to think, how would these women have met one another? So I began to think of the Citizen Army, which was the first European army where men and women were welcome. And I had Countess Markovitch and Margaret Skinner and people like Kathleen Lynn, Dr. Kathleen Lynn, who was the medical officer of the Irish Citizen Army, that they all met and we staged the play, believe it or not. I love bespoke venues. So we staged the play up in the former women's jail up in Sunderswell.
Brilliant. What a great way to bring history alive.
It was just super.
Yeah.
And we had over 1,000 people at it.
Yeah, see, I think this is really interesting, Fionnuala, that Irish people, more than their so-called betters realise, are much more interested in history and who we are than they get credit for. And I mean that in the sense that I think that the 1916 celebrate commemoration was kind of given a bit of a low-key run out initially. And suddenly the people reacted by saying, we want more of this and bigger. So it's definitely there.
Oh,
it just
absolutely.
Has to be done properly. This
absolutely.
Is what we keep saying.
Well, now, we are an amateur bunch. Now, they're going to get a heart attack when they hear this, but yes, so I'm on the 19th of March... I have adapted the inquest into the death of Tomás McCurtain. And Tomás McCurtain was the former Lord Mayor of Cork who was killed on his 36th birthday. Now, this is not a play...
I'm going to stop you there because a lot of people obviously know McCurtain Street. They know the story of Tomás McCurtain. But for the passing trade, let's remind ourselves. So he was the Lord Mayor of Cork, elected in January 1920.
That's right.
Just to put it shape. He hit 36. I think it was his birthday.
It was the night of his birthday, actually, that he was killed. Yeah.
Now, who killed him? This is important.
Well, you see, the point is, this is such a sensitive issue. Because
100 years later.
Yes, but we've also had the RIC.
That's why I wanted to ask
debacle
you.
And so forth. So we really have to be very, very sensitive. It's a very fragile area. So all I will say is that there's no triumphalism about this. So during my various research, it's obviously well known that a Lieutenant Colonel Swansea of the RIC possibly commanded that the hit on, we'll say, Tomás McCurtain. Mm. But he, in return, was coming out of mass at Lisburn in Northern Ireland and was killed. And then, consequent to that, over 32 Catholics were killed. So it's a very tragic tale. And remember, the history casts such a long shadow.
Of
course. That we have to be so, so careful. So what I'm looking at really is, I'm looking at the event from a humane point of view. We're very fortunate. Yesterday I got confirmation that President Higgins and Sabina Higgins are going to come down.
Great.
To it.
Great,
so
great support.
Actors, if you're listening, you better start learning your lines.
Yeah.
But also, it's just so tremendous to have a president and Mrs. Higgins that are so interested in the cultural life.
Wasn't she involved in Sabina in a previous production?
I have
the
been
college?
So fortunate. A year and a half ago, we celebrated 100 years of women's suffragism and the franchise. And Sabina Higgins led a cortege of 200 women dressed in period costume in the quad where you were yesterday as we celebrated 100 years of women's suffrage. It was a tremendous occasion.
The reason I wanted to light briefly on who shot Tomás McCurtain is because it echoes, we talk about the echoes of history, and that's 100 years ago, that's the RIC. The RIC, those three letters, arguably, and the black and tans, in some ways may have derailed 21st century Fine Gael's election campaign this year. Now, we're not going to get into it, but it certainly didn't help matters. I mean, it was extraordinary how loud the echo of history was in this election. Right, and to give it to all sides, you saw up the Ra, Sinn Féin TD in Waterford. Yeah. You saw that footage doing the rounds now. Bang! Excuse the expression, but we're suddenly back into history.
Well, I actually mentioned that in class yesterday.
Did you?
Because I know quite a lot of students voted Sinn Féin. They told me yesterday in class. And I'm just worried about the fact that we're not going back to that sort of Republican triumphalism. So I think we should be very, very fragile and very, very alert to the nuances of history.
Well, this is what I was saying about a younger person I spoke to yesterday who said, your history is, to talk about this generation, as parents, your history is Sinn Féin, IRA. My history is Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil, wrecking the economy and not fixing it. Mm-hmm. Now, whose history is right?
Well, you see, this is it.
And I mean, when does history stop being politics? And when does politics become history?
Well, I often say that. I mean, when you look at even if me staging a play, it's from my perspective, it's like a director. I mean, we'll say, just to go back to a less contentious, when Neil Jordan made
Michael Collins,
right? There was a slew of anachronisms, even historically, if you're trying to be accurate. But at the same time, it was Neil Jordan's perspective. And many people were very, I suppose, upset over the dramatisation of De Valera, for example, who almost came across as being a feat. And
a panto.
Absolutely.
It was Alan Rickman played him.
Exactly. So we have to be very, very careful. And I suppose that's why I'm interested in all parts of history. Yeah. I was telling you, for example, tomorrow I'm going to give a talk in the Long Room in Trinity on the confessional radio, the history of how radio has almost displaced religion as a form of confessional, and that we don't ring our politicians anymore, we ring radio. And I'll be taking a look at the evolution of talk radio and confessional radio, right up from Dear Frankie to the Gay Byrne Show to Jerry Ryan Show, right up to Liveline, and just taking a look at what is it about us as a nation of talkers that we love to hear ourselves on the air.
Yeah. And I think that's you got an answer to that question?
I think we find ourselves very interesting.
Well, we love a good yarn.
Yes.
We like a story. It could be sad or happy. But a story well told, particularly by somebody who's the prima facie storyteller, you know, rather than wait till I tell you about someone else. We seem to be intrigued by that, especially if it's authentic.
Inúla Fualán often said that. I mean, when she spoke with Marian Finucane, and you mentioned that earlier on your show about the passing of such veteran broadcasters.
Yes.
So I often wonder, I mean, what I used to often see about Gay Byrne, for example, was that he was naturally an entertainer. He came from the variety.
Almost vaudeville.
So whereas an awful lot of the current presenters really I'm kind of journalistic. Yeah. So where would you see yourself as emanating from, Ryan?
I've caught in the middle with you. stuck in the middle with you. I don't know what I am, to be honest with you, in terms of broadcasting. But, I'm interested in everything. So
I think you need to be a bit zany as well. You had the Zoo Radio type then of Jerry Ryan.
Yeah.
So I just think it's very interesting. So I suppose overall history really embraces everybody. Mm. And the performative side of it, I also have a master's in drama and theatre studies, so that kind of helps as well.
But you have to be a bit of a performer to
do
this job.
You know, and I was never a good actress, so I may as well be a good director.
Yeah, Daniel, you'd be great on the radio too. But I do think that in terms of confessional, if you want to call it that, or storytelling, the one thing I get from guests in terms of guests with the story to tell is that they just want to communicate to the person on the couch at home or in the car at home and say to them, you're not on your own. And I think that there's a comfort in that. It's not actually them, you know, getting a trip out of coming on and telling their story. It's actually on the contrary. It's them saying, I've done this and I want to tell you that if you're doing this, if you're going on the same road as I am, don't feel so lonely. And there's a kindness and an altruism to that that I
totally
admire.
Agree. And I just thought that yesterday as well, you know, you had a lovely engaging manner about you yesterday. And I think that you've won a whole host of hearts yesterday. And I think, so if you're passing by the Long Room in Trinity tomorrow, drop in if you can.
It sounds interesting, for to the, say the least.
And even on the 19th of March, you can join President Higgins and Sabina and the Lord Mayor and our own President. There'll be a whole host of people there if you wanted to come down.
Well, I love what you're doing for history and that idea. So it's going to be the trial of the inquest.
So
sorry,
the inquest into the death of Tomás McCurtain.
Done in the style of a
courtroom, yeah.
Really?
It was actually originally in the City Hall. So we have the voices of Cork Choir under the baton of Eamon Nash. They're a local Cork Choir going to sing as well. I've chosen some beautiful music. I love to layer it up as well. I love the whole production side of it. And in conjunction with Brenda Lynch, a colleague of mine, we both adapted it for stage, so to speak. It was originally 96 witnesses. We've whittled it down to 13. So it's going to be rather difficult. You have to add a bit of drama and you have to take a bit of dramatic license because it would otherwise be very
boring. I was going to ask you about that. You mentioned Michael Collins, the kind of off-colour joke at the time. Who shot Michael Collins? Of course, the answer, Neil Jordan. He made the film and it was a desperate joke, but that's what it was. But tell me this. When you get to a film like In the Name of the Father, Jim Sheridan's film, which I remember showing to she's now my oldest daughter, and it really triggered, again, excuse the expression, but it did trigger an interest in history for her. Mm-hmm. And in fact, she did the Leaving Cert special topic on that subject. Yeah, because...
Love to talk to her.
But I was saying to her at the time, this is not a document.
Yes.
This is an engaging, engrossing film that would make your blood boil, which it does. So how do you tell students not to watch? It's like, don't watch Baz Luhrmann's Romeo and Juliet and think you're watching Shakespeare. Mm. You know, you have to be careful.
I actually teach that in class in the Name of the Father, and I often talk about the artistic license that Jim Sheridan has taken, because the father and son did not share a cell, but it was part of that narrative, you know, the name, In the Name of the Father, and of course the next line is of the son. So that was the metaphor throughout the whole film. But I think Jim Sheridan's work has been tremendous because he has taken a look at, I suppose, British injustice and has used film as a medium of narrating on that. Yeah. But what was also very important was the fact is that Ireland have an incredible narrative, and he was also looking at colonialism. You know, there's that beautiful scene where they throw down the
lanterns.
The lanterns to commemorate the death of Giuseppe. So, and I also say that, you know, I've been involved at the moment as well in T.G. Carr. I was telling you yesterday that T.G. Carr are great for adapting history.
Tremendous superb stuff. Yeah, they did the Mam Trasna murders very well, actually, which would chime with what you're saying.
Absolutely. So I've just finished filming a series called In Rána HÉir, in Ireland's Greatest Love Stories. And I've taken a look at, I might be actually on the cutting floor for all
I doubt that.
They liked my jackets, that's all I can say. But that's going to be out in autumn. And they took a look at famous love stories like Michael Collins, Kitty Kiernan. They took a look even at Oscar Wilde and Bose, his boyfriend.
Yes.
And they also took a look at Grainne O'Malley.
When is that on?
It's going to be in the autumn. It's going to be fantastic, by Bow Media. And actually... Maureen Connell, who's the commissioning editor in T.G. Carr, she's coming down to our event on March 19th as well, so it should be really interesting. So I just think there's a great excitement. I love going into the lecture theatre lecturing. I would have to say my dream job would be something like Lucy Worsley. You know Lucy Worsley?
I'd love
to be her. I'd love to be presenting. I think there's not enough history. I don't agree, I'm probably going to get criticism for this, but I don't agree in separating women's history from history. I think it should all be part of the one. I don't like the idea of...
The herstory?
Yeah, exactly. Now, they've done tremendous stuff, but I think you would never say male history.
They'll argue, we have to argue this for a moment, they will argue that we've had male history for thousands and thousands and thousands of years, and that is time, and maybe eventually we'll be able to conflate the two.
Think about someone like Countess Markovic, was the first lieutenant of the Irish Citizen Army, you know?
Yeah.
Kathleen Nim was the first medical officer of the Irish Citizen Army, so they should all be incorporated as part of the narrative.
We could be here all day, and with great happiness, I can assure you, but I have to bring another guest in to say hello to us in a minute. Fionnuala, it's been a real pleasure to meet you yesterday and today. Thanks for the lovely welcome at UCC.
You're more than welcome. You lit up our atrium, our hub, as I say.
We had a ball. No, honest to God, we really had a ball. And thank you for your time. Fionnuala Doyle O'Neill. Got that right. Long Room in History in Trinity tomorrow.
Yes, 4 p.m.
You are an evangelist for history and we love you for it.
Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for
your time. And so are you. Thank you.
Okay. It's 9:43 this Tuesday morning. We're live from Cork. We'll have plenty more for you coming up after this.